One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. Sharing the trials, tribulations, and adventures as a one-handed solo traveling professional speaker. Okay, my friends in podcast land, this is Alejandro sharing some more stories. I happen to be in St. Petersburg, Russia right now. Weather is a little on the chilly side. People are beautiful and the food is just slamming good. I'm out here for a speaking gig, which is going to happen the day after this podcast goes up, April 26th. The featured image here on my website is the advertisement that's made by my Russian crew of friends who I met through the Dzogchen Shri Tsenga Foundation's internship, Buddhist internship that I usually go on every year. This year I'm not attending, but I came out to Russia and I'm very sweet on this Russian girl. Actually, this Russian young lady. So I thought I'd come out, and they set up a speaking gig. And if you happened to read my prologue in the podcast, it talks about something referring to nitty-gritty, down-and-dirty style. Well, yes, this is my down-and-dirty, nitty-gritty recording and graphic design work without a lot of my technology, because my suitcase got misrouted. Yes, indeed. I've been in Russia 2 full days, and I'm still wearing the same clothes. All my stuff got routed. I was really hoping they'd be here about an hour ago, and they are not. So I'm just going to need to record this on my phone, and I just got together what I could through the graphic design software. Usually I use a Wacom tablet. I have a portable Wacom tablet with my graphics pen, and I have access to a lot of graphic design software, Illustrator, things of that nature, and a lot of stock photography that I've been saving specifically for this. But my Wacom tablet, which is my magic wand with graphic design, is in my suitcase. And all my microphones are in my suitcase. Half of my sound recording gear is in my suitcase. The only thing that I traveled with was, which on me in my backpack, was my H6, my Zoom H6. But I didn't bring the portable speaker that goes with it. And I will, the microphone, and it's got a little clip-in microphone. And I chose not to do that. In essence, I separated my gear, and none of it is good on its own. Luckily, I have my iPhone, which is the tricorder, the Star Trek tricorder of the modern day age here in 2018. As much as I didn't want to do it on my phone, I'm going to. And as much as I didn't necessarily want to do graphic design with my touchpad right on my screen, I don't even carry a mouse. I haven't moused in 15 years. I gave that up when I got my first Wacom. But this isn't about having resources. This is about being resourceful. And this is a great Tony Robbins, the high-end professional speaker. This is one of his quotes. He said, you don't need to have more resources. You just need to be more resourceful. And I am simply going to make it work. And here I am making it work. Well, let me tell you, I arrived in St. Petersburg after 28 hours of fly time. I flew had a short trip from Boise, Idaho to Oakland, California. And then I had a 1-hour layover, and I flew from Oakland to LAX, Los Angeles, where I had a 5-hour layover, which was great because I had to kind of get my visa set up, get through customs, take care of all that stuff. And then it was pretty much a 12-hour flight on the Russian Airlines Aeroflot. And then I landed in Moscow 12 hours later. And then, of course, Moscow in relation to Boise is 8 hours ahead, 9 hours ahead in the future. And then I had a 1.5 hour layover, and then I simply flew to St. Petersburg. So after 28 hours, I got into St. Petersburg on the 23rd. I left Boise early on the 22nd, lost 9 hours. So next thing I know, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I can't even tell you, should I be awake? Should I be asleep? You know, 9 hours off will toss you. I think dealing with a 9 hour time change is more difficult than a 12 hour time change. When I was in China, that was just much easier to deal with because I'm pretty much on the other side of the coin. But this 9 hours, typically when I'm going to bed in Boise, Idaho, my friends here in St. Petersburg are getting up. And it's still throwing me. I've been here for 2 days, and right now it's 11:30 p.m. and I am totally awake. And I've been trying real hard to get on St. Petersburg's schedule, but nonetheless, it's not working so well, and here I am. And I'm really glad my suitcase is coming. Well, it looks like it's going to be here tomorrow because my speaking gig is on Thursday, the 26th, and all my clothes are in there, all my underwear, all my cool socks, and my suit is in there, my sport coat, and my cool shoes. You know, I need that stuff. And then a lot of my sound recording gear. I have 2 podcasts I have to take care of while I'm here, and it'd be nice if I had that gear overall, if I had that flow, and I could just get into my flow, yo. Do you know? Coming straight from the dro. All right. Well, let me get to just a little bit of cool stuff here. My first night, I'm spending time with my Russian sweetheart. Her name is Arina. And we settled in. We got a little bit of coffee. I haven't had coffee in 2.5 months. And I just wanted to take a little break from coffee, knowing that when I got here to St. Petersburg, I was going to start drinking some coffee. And it's going to kind of help me stay up long enough to get back on the time cycle. Or at least that was my hope. Maybe it's just wishful thinking because I'm very excited to be back to drinking coffee. We went to Starbucks, Russian style, and I just got two shots of espresso, and we're on our way. We came back here, kind of settled in, took a quick shower, cleaned up, got a little bit of food, drank some Russian style kombucha. I don't even know what this says. But I got some images of that. It'll show up. I'm gonna start doing some vlogs, and I might even use this podcast with my vlog or part of it, just so I can show certain images and you can follow along and see kind of the video stuff of what's going on. But we decided to go out. She wanted to take me to this. She said it was a really cool coffee shop here in downtown St. Petersburg. So we got on a train to catch a bus to get to the subway. And let me tell you, this escalator in the subway is like, it looked like it was a quarter mile long. It's unbelievable. I'm going to try to get a picture of it. It is so astoundingly long. I've never seen anything like it. I've never been on anything like it, though. I've never been in, you know, like New York subway system, but it was a pretty cool experience. And then we get down there and we get on another train. And next thing you know, we come out and we're in downtown, the main strip, city center, St. Petersburg, the cultural capital of Russia. And what some people say is the northern Vienna. I am just completely set back by how beautiful this city is. Downtown, it is just so beautiful. So much stone carving, statues everywhere, just really unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can't tell you how stunning it is. All the waterways, all the bridges. We were just walking around now. Mind you, it is cold. It's like 32 degrees with a high of 44 Fahrenheit. So today, everything I'm referring to is yesterday, but today I was doing something, and I can't remember where I was at, but I was listening to the radio, and they were mentioning, oh, St. Petersburg is 4 Celsius. And it takes me a minute to figure all that out, but you know, that's like 38 degrees. Fahrenheit. So for me, pretty cold. Coming from Boise, when I left, it was just at about 70 degrees. Beautiful springtime. And no, not the case here in St. Petersburg, Russia. It's pretty cold, but yes, but the sun was shining yesterday. Wow. And she wanted to take me to this little coffee shop because I was a little bit hungry. We wanted to get a little bit of food and get another cup of, another shot of espresso. And she took me to this sweet little place called, of course, I can't pronounce the Russian name, but the English translation is Coffee in the Kitchen. And, oh, it was really cozy. It was really sweet. It was very down to earth. It was tiny, but it was very cool, and it was packed. It was getting ready to close. We had about 20 minutes left, and it was just a phenomenal experience. I got a piano in there, and even on their wall, I actually put this up on my Instagram page, so check me out on Instagram, One Hand Speaks. Actually, find me everywhere, social media, Twitter, Facebook. I got a Pinterest account that I haven't been working very well, actually none at all, so that's coming, but my Instagram I rock a lot, so I put up an image. They actually have a small art display of espresso presses, you know, for pressing down the grinded up espresso. Very cool little art display. I mean, the place was so hip, and the food, oh my gosh, I cannot tell you how good this food was. This fish, like panini type thing, wrap, they called it, heated up. I mean, it was small, but it was so absolutely delicious. I mean, delicious. Oh my word. It was so good. And the coffee was just unreal. The place was so cool. You know, and then we came back and we hung out and got ready for the next day, trying to figure out what's going to happen to my luggage, this kind of thing, and taking care of work, just doing our thing. Now I'm trying to sleep. It's late night, so I'm just kind of perusing like coolest places in St. Petersburg. And let me tell you, the list is long, and I'm not even going to talk about all the cool churches, the Orthodox churches, all the great history, the Hermitage, none of that. I'm just talking about like cool cafes. The number one cool cafe in St. Petersburg, Russia is, well, Coffee in the Kitchen, the place we were at last night. I actually showed Arena that this morning and she started laughing. She's like, oh, I'm very cool. She is very cool. And she took me to one of the best cafes in St. Petersburg, and it's tiny and quaint and cozy and beyond cool. So if you ever get a chance to come to St. Petersburg, that's one of the spots you want to go. It's right on this canal, this river. It's just, I can't wait to go back again. And then today was pretty cool. We're a little rainy, and just trying to get ready for my talk, but it's a little bit challenging because I don't have any of my clothes or anything like that. And so it's a little hard to focus, but not too much, just trying to figure it all out. And but there a lot of rain today. We had to take care of some visa stuff and tried to go look for a theater to go see a movie. I'm really excited about seeing Infinity Wars Part 1, the Avengers movie, and I would love to see it here in Russia. They're going to film it in English with Russian subtitles. But there's a bunch of great movies showing right now. So we're just trying to figure out what movies we wanted to see. And then, we went to the Hermitage for a little bit, you know, just this just unbelievable museum, which apparently was built in 1792, and it's gigantic. Oh my word, it is so huge and beautiful. And there's like 1,500 rooms. I mean, just the amount of Russian history that's in here, and even some British history and European history, but just it is stunning. We just did we only spent an hour there today. And I wanted to at least go for an hour to get an idea of what's going on, because the next time I go, I'm going to spend a full half day, because it's like nothing I've ever seen. It's just unbelievable. Actually, I have seen something similar to that when I was in Austria. I'm going to do a vlog about that. I went with my good Buddhist friend Marcus from Austria. When we were in Vienna. Oh, it was just so stunning. Stunning Picassos and Monets. You know, we went there to the Standard Museum there, but they had in the basement, which is huge, they had an art installation. They were showing a bunch of art by Edvard Munch, who did The Scream, which most people probably know that image, but maybe not know the artist's name. But this guy was so absolutely prolific. It was mind-boggling how much work this guy did. And then going to the Hermitage here in St. Petersburg, Russia, just reminded me of that museum experience with my good friend Marcus in Vienna, Austria. Just unbelievable. This museum was just great. I just wanted to go for a little bit. So we had an hour. I thought it was great. And then there was time to go. You know, we're spending a lot of time on the bus. It's traffic. We just had to deal with a lot of rush hour stuff, getting on subways, a lot of people. You know, there's 5 million people live in St. Petersburg, Russia, and there's a lot going on. So she decided to take me. She's like, well, let's go get donuts. And where did we go? We went to the best donuts in St. Petersburg, the sweet little donut shop. And I'll tell you what, those donuts were slamming good. I mean, wow. Oh, and you pretty much only get donuts. And if you want coffee, there's no options. You don't get like a latte or an espresso, or you don't get a caramel macchiato with extra whip and a splash of whatever. No, you pretty much get coffee with a little bit of milk, and it just comes one way. So you pretty much just got two options, donuts and coffee. Sweets, like my old boss at World Class Chili. You're just getting what he's offering, and that's it. And the coffee was so good, and the donuts were, they just melted in my mouth. I mean, they were unbelievable. And the interesting thing is on my 12-hour flight, I was watching some TV programs. They were subtitled in English, but they were Russian programs because the World Cup is going to be here this year for you football fans. And I'm talking true football with the feet, not American football, where we call it soccer, but no, actual football. And they're just talking to all these people, famous people in Russia. And actually, one of them's at the donut shop we were at. So this donut shop is world famous donut shop, and I can see why. I'm definitely going to eat there again. So another great day in St. Petersburg, Russia. Really had a great time. But you know what's really fantastic? This is great. Let me share this with you, because it's really interesting, because May Day is coming up, and May 1st is a very big kind of Russian Soviet holiday. And I know this because for 9 years I put a beautiful May Day celebration on in Boise, Idaho. I had a maypole. Kids would dance the maypole. Once I got my martial arts school, I started doing it in Hyde Park and just Camelsback Park. Just had a beautiful festival. And I gave a long speech about how May Day is celebrated the world over. And throughout history, it's the longest non-secular holiday on the planet. Yeah, May Day. May Day. And it's a big deal in Russia. And that doesn't really have anything with what I'm about to say, but it's just that when we were at the Hermitage, it's in a big court. So the Hermitage is this gigantic building. And then on the other side is another part of another building, an annex or just something else. I mean, both of these buildings are gigantic. And in between them is a large circular area with a huge pillared statue. I'll get more information on that, and I'll have some videos on that. But when we were coming out, we could start to hear music, and we looked out the window, and there's all this military. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of soldiers in platoons. There must have been 15, 18 platoons. There was a stage out, people on stage saluting, cars, really nice cars driving by with people in them, driving around. The huge orchestra, Russian military band is playing. And I'm like, what is going on today? And Arena went to go find out. And it's actually a practice for May 9th, which is Victory Day, which I believe has to do with a war that occurred. I'm not very good with history overall, let alone Russian history, but it has something to do with that. So it's a big, big deal, Victory Day. And they were practicing for that, which is great, because I'm not going to be here on May 9th. I leave on May 4th. And I got a little taste of what they're going to do in the square. And really, there was, you know, they're doing the Russian national anthem in Arena. My friend who was born and raised here in Russia, she started crying. I mean, it was really a very powerful experience for her. And it was a big, big deal. And it was nice that I got a little bit of that. It was really quite spectacular, and I'm probably going to make reference to it on my talk tomorrow. You know, and really, I'm really, this podcast ended up being about my first 2 days traveling, dealing with my bags getting lost, just trying to make my way. Luckily, I had enough money and gear and technology with me to be able to actually make this podcast work, which is slightly stunning, down and dirty, nitty gritty style. But it's really, you know, all this is really in preparation for my talk on Thursday. I'm going to be doing a talk about disabled thinking, which I've done a podcast on. So you have to kind of look through my podcast, go to my website, or you can check me out on iTunes and go back to one of my podcasts called Disabled Thinking. And that is a TED talk, TEDx Boise talk I did at the opening TEDx Boise in 2015. Is about this concept that my Buddhist teacher, Dzogchen Khenpo Chogyal Rinpoche, and myself spontaneously kind of came up with while we were talking about what it means to have a disability. He asked me what I would rather have, a disabled body or disabled thinking. And I said, well, disabled thinking. And then we started talking about how there is this idea of our thinking is disabled, not our body. And of course, you can catch that online, you know, just YouTube Alejandro Disabled Thinking and you'll find it. I've also done another TEDx Twin Falls. I've done two TEDx talks, TEDx Boise and TEDx Twin. And the other one is about understanding the nature of the single present moment. What I do want to say is I've actually generated a lot of Russian momentum for my TEDx on disabled thinking. And because of that, when my Russian Sangha, the Buddhist Russians here that I'm affiliated with, heard that I was coming out to Russia, they wanted to have me do this talk on disabled thinking. They think it'd be very good for Russia. And it's just generating a lot of momentum. I've been getting a lot of emails and Facebook chats, messages, and people here in Russia really enjoy that talk, and they think it's very inspirational, and they want me to talk about disabled thinking and, you know, simply overcoming adversity with the power of thinking, letting people see, well, just sharing my one-handed story, yo. And I am very excited for this talk, and I'm super excited that I got my, well, I will get my suitcase probably some point tomorrow, and if not tomorrow, certainly on Thursday before my evening talk. And that's the main reason. Well, it's not the main reason why I'm here in St. Petersburg, Russia. I'm here because I'm sweet on Arena, but it is a perk, like an extra thing when I'm traveling, to be able to teach a little bit of Buddhism and to share my professional speaking and inspiration on disabled thinking, and just to be able to travel solo, one-handed, international traveling style. And there it is, my friends. I'm going to bring this podcast to a close. Let me tell you now, if you can, spread your wings. Get out there. Push it a little more. Don't let anyone tell you you can't do anything. And take it from a guy without two hands. What it really comes down to is the power of your thinking.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.